The Tom Woods Show, episode 1868.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 1868 of The Tom Woods Show. I got Dave Smith here from Part of the Problem. We're going to be talking about the issue. And as a matter of fact, Dave, when I invited you this morning, yes, this morning, you were that much of a good sport. I said, do you want to come on my show and talk about the capital issue? And you said, yeah. Sure, let's do it. Yeah. And then a few remarks down, it was, now what's the issue again? Well, it's this vaccine passport thing. And what the response has been and what's been going on Twitter and all that. Before we get into that, let me remind everybody, I don't have the site up yet, but I will probably by next week to sign up. Its entrance is free, but I would like to get as many people registered as possible for the 2000th episode event, October 16th in Orlando with the Rosen Shingle Creek. We had a big crowd last time for the 1000th episode. We're going to have a huge one for episode 2000. So keep your eyes peeled. It'll be in my newsletter. It'll be at tomwoods.com on the events page. It'll be all over my Twitter account. Follow me on Twitter. But I want as many people to be there as possible because we're going to have an excellent time. All right, Dave, you did a video just last night on this whole topic of a vaccine passport. And, you know, I think you also may have tweeted at what point, maybe it wasn't you, but the idea of a vaccine passport is the sort of thing that people who are not considered respectable, who are so-called conspiracy theorists, warned was coming. And everybody said, oh, come on, right? And it seems like at this point, you know, you have to say, you know, they were more accurate than, Dr. Fauci.
Well, let's just say if you had the attitude of a conspiracy theorist that was saying the government was going to do all of these crazy things and violate all of our civil liberties, you'd be closer to accurate than if you had the attitude of a regular Wolf Blitzer watching, you know, CNN viewer or something like that. So, yeah, look, I got a lot of people who are talking to me over the last couple of days because I've been tweeting like a madman and really, I did two podcasts. I did a podcast about it. Then I did the live stream and I just did another podcast today and I'm going crazy about this COVID passport business. And a lot of people are saying to me, well, like, come on, this is never going to happen. And it's like, look, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I've always been in our space. I've always been kind of batting down those guys, the more Alex Jones leaning types. That's not me. But I mean, this thing has already gone through in New York City. It has, I mean, the Washington Post, CNN, all these mainstream outlets are talking about how Joe Biden is meeting with corporations to plan this thing out. And after everything that's happened the last year, is it really that crazy to imagine that this might possibly happen? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, a year and a half ago, if you had said the government was going to lock us in our homes, that would have seemed pretty crazy too. So I am open to the possibility that this is real.
Yeah, exactly. And that dissidents from this idea will be demonized, which is what always happens in America. Dissident voices are demonized or are not acknowledged at all. And so I already see people saying this is a very sensible idea, it'll keep everybody safe. And look, I just want to get back to seeing concerts again. You know, so if that's what it takes, I'm going to do it. And these people who refuse to get on board, well, they deserve to be shut out from society. That's their attitude. Now, let me ask you, let's stipulate for the sake of argument. Let's say that the vaccines are as good as the manufacturers and their boosters, so to speak, say they are, and that they have tremendous results in terms of health and preventing hospitalizations and deaths. Let's say we stipulate that. What is the case against vaccine passports if this looks like a way to get people out of this situation, to minimize loss of life? Aren't there some values that are so important that we need to pursue them regardless of what inconveniences they might impose on us?
Okay, well, if we're going to stipulate that the vaccine is perfect, you know, for the sake of argument, and that it absolutely is, which, you know, kind of seems to contradict the like Faucian line that you still have to wear a mask and you still have to be careful and we can't prove that you can't transmit the virus or any of that. But leaving all of that aside, if the vaccine is perfect, and as Biden claims, the vaccine is going to be available for everybody, then the only logical conclusion that one could draw from that is that it's over. This whole thing, this whole nightmare is over, and it's time to go back to reality and the old normal, not a new normal. I mean, if you're going to say at this point that anybody who wants the vaccine can get it, and therefore anybody who doesn't want the vaccine is clearly choosing to take the risk, then okay. Then the only logical answer is that we can go back to normal life and we can demand our basic liberties back. We can go back to the country in 2019 where people like me and you were still complaining about how we're not free enough. You know, but you know, now looking back on it, we'd be quite happy to have that level of freedom. So the value of a vaccine passport is next to nothing if the vaccine actually is what people are claiming it can be. And I don't know, by the way, I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other on the vaccine. I have a strong feeling on the lockdowns. I think you've done about as good a job as anyone to demonstrate that they have had absolutely no effect on mitigating the virus. I have a strong feeling about human liberty and a lot of other things. I don't really have a strong feeling about the vaccines. But a vaccine passport, and we're not just talking about like stamping a passport so you can go to another country. You're talking about an app where the government is going to collude with big corporations to have your medical history. This is going to determine not whether people are allowed to go to Africa. This is going to determine whether people are allowed to go to sporting events, to work, to grocery stores, to travel within their country. No, I'm sorry. This is setting up a national caste system where one group of people have rights that another group of people don't have. And so, like, if the vaccine actually works and is 100% effective with no side effects or whatever, there's no stronger argument for that.
Talk about what happened the other day with the Libertarian Party of Kentucky.
Okay, so by the way, I think I started this whole thing. So I don't know, I might be wrong about this, but this might be all, you can blame it all on me or it's all to my credit, depending on how you look at it. But I just started going crazy about this on Twitter and I wouldn't stop. I just kept tweeting about it and going nuts about how the Libertarian Party and every Libertarian needs to condemn this. Because the more I was looking into these COVID passports, which I don't even like the term. You know, it's even like lockdown. I don't like that. These are all euphemisms. It's kind of like collateral damage or something. We should just call it what it is. I mean, what they're proposing is implementing a national caste system in America where there are two groups of people, one who have rights and one who do not. And like the lockdowns, I'd rather, you know, refer to them as shredding the Bill of Rights and instituting state dictators claiming to be governors or whatever. So I started tweeting about this like crazy. And I was looking back at it today, and I was trying to figure out, like, did I start this whole thing? And my tweet storm seems to have come before all the others. So I think it might have been me. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, I got the Libertarian Party to come out and condemn them in the kind of typical weak, soft way that you might expect. But at least I was happy that they did say they were against them for, like, medical privacy reasons or something. And then the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, they tweeted something, I forget exactly what it was, but they said something like, hey, what are you going to do to mark the unvaccinated people? How about you sew a yellow star onto their jacket or something like that? You know, making a reference to how the Nazis started, you know, treating the Jews in the run-up to the Holocaust. And this, now it's not just this, because the tweet that I had got more traction than any tweet I've ever put up.
It was awesome. It was unbelievable, Dave.
Well, it got like, I think I'm close to like 40,000 likes on it or something like that. Like it got a lot. I mean, let me just read it to you so people know the one. I was proud of this one. But I said, I really don't think people understand just how bad this COVID passport actually is. Look into it. It's not just checking that people got the vaccine. It's setting up a national caste system and a spying apparatus. Unlike anything in our history, this is it, the big one, fight it. So now Justin Amash also had some tweets, really great tweets, you know, not as fiery as mine, but really good stuff. And they got a ton of traction. So it's not just the Kentucky tweet, but the Libertarian Party of Kentucky's tweet got a ton of pushback and a lot of blue check marks and celebrities were furious about it. And so the combination of all of them blew it up. Libertarians were trending for a while and it caused a big, you know, a big moment on Twitter.
Now, that whole thing, I mean, I'll be honest with you, okay? Maybe some people will be unhappy with me, but I generally don't like Holocaust or Hitler analogies. I just don't. And you can argue with me about whether I should or I shouldn't. I generally don't. But to me, the fact that people are angrier about the analogy than they are about the policy is what's revealing. And not to mention that we've gone pretty much a year now with the national LP being almost silent on the lockdowns. I mean, absolutely tone deaf. They'll put out a tweet about, you know, something like civil asset forfeiture or something, like this is 2018. Yeah. Like it's like they're not even in the same universe. I had Karen Ann Harlos, the secretary of the LP, on my show. You also, of course, had her on. She's gotten really, really good. She was good before. She's gotten really great. And she was on to lament the fact that for a year we've had basically nothing from the national LP. And by the way, I'll speculate as to why that is. I think it's because a lot of the establishment people in the LP, they're all blue-pilled. And so if the regime says this is a really dangerous thing and you need to social distance and wear masks, you know, only a crank would be opposed to that. Even though we have a year now of charts showing state after state, you can compare them. This one closed indoor dining. This one didn't. They have the same curve over and over and over and over and over again. How you could still believe this, I have no idea. But there's no way people like this are ever going to stand up and oppose a Dr. Fauci. That would make them cranks. And they want to be respectable people. So I think that's a big part of what we're fighting against there is just this terror of offending the establishment. So the key thing here is the tweet was a real problem. The policy, yeah, you know, there are some medical privacy implications, but that tweet, now that got our attention.
I remember watching an old lecture by Paul Gottfried, and I believe this might have been at a Mises Institute event, or it might have just been some other video on YouTube. I can't remember exactly, but I remember him saying that the word totalitarian is very overused. And there's only so many societies that the word totalitarian actually applies to. And I think he's right when he said that. And I think he said the Nazis were one, and Stalin's Soviet Union was one, and but I got to say, I mean, look, over the last year, I don't know how else you describe what happened to the United States of America. I don't know what other word would work other than totalitarian. I mean, you had a state of affairs in America where people were, if you remember, go back a year ago and for months after that, people were watching daily press conferences from their governors to find out what they were allowed to do, like that day. It's like, okay, my father's dying. Can I go visit him? Can I have a funeral for him? Can I go to work today? Am I deemed essential or non-essential? Like, I mean, how else would you describe that other than blatant government totalitarianism? Here in New Jersey, we had Governor Murphy was on the Tucker Carlson show, and he had just arrested 10 Jews for the crime of going to synagogue when they had banned, you know, religious services as non-essential. Because of course, the secular dictators have decided that's non-essential. Like, who are they to decide going to church or synagogue is non-essential? That seems like a value judgment, if you ask me, but they decided that's non-essential. Also, no one, you know, for all the accusations of anti-Semitism out there, the state rounding up Jews for going to synagogue didn't seem to get, you know, that didn't trigger any leftists. But Tucker Carlson asked him, he said, well, like, this is a constitutionally enshrined, protected right in the Bill of Rights. Where do you have the authority to do this? And Governor Murphy said, we weren't thinking about the Bill of Rights. That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, he
I'm
said
not
that.
Interested. Flat out. Like, they were just straight up like, I don't care what the Bill of Rights says. This is what we're doing. So in this moment, right, I mean, where the government goes totalitarian, the truth is, and the sad truth is, that a lot of libertarians failed. Yeah. In the most important moment of their lives, you know, politically speaking, they failed to be against this thing. And a lot of those same people are the ones who are attacking the Kentucky LP for comparing this to the Holocaust. Or not, and to be fair, they didn't even compare it to the Holocaust.
Of
they compared
not.
It to the run-up to the Holocaust. You know, I mean, the marking of Jews was, I think it started in 1939, maybe 1938. It wasn't, you know, this was the lead-up to the Holocaust. So, okay, I mean, look, you can say, and I am somewhat, I agree with you to some degree. I think that every comparison to Nazi Germany is a little bit lazy. Like that, you know, I'm not knocking them for doing it, but yeah, I would compare it to the Chinese social credit system because it's much more similar to that. And China has already implemented a COVID passport. So that's a better analogy. But I mean, to be outraged at someone for making this comparison when everybody relies on these comparisons. I mean, you know, I was arguing with a blue check mark, Charlotte Clymer. I don't know who she is.
I don't either, but she's somebody who stupidly fights against Dave Smith. That's what I know.
Yeah. So she starts. Now, by the way, I don't do any of this research ever. Other people send me all this stuff.
They do it for you, don't they? They send it to you.
Which is wonderful. It's so great. But so she's going, it's just so outrageous to make comparisons to the Holocaust. I mean, this is so insulting to the Jews who, you know, die. Now, by the way, she's a Catholic woman, and I have nothing against Catholic women. I married one, and I love her very much. But it's just kind of funny that she's lecturing me, you know, a Jewish grandson of a Holocaust survivor, about how I just don't appreciate what the Jews went through in Nazi Germany or something. And then, of course, people just start sending me her screenshots, sending me her old tweets. And, of course, she's compared Trump to Hitler. She's compared Trump supporters to brown shirts, the immigration detention centers to Nazi concentration camps, all of this. So, you know, you just see, like, of course, these comparisons are all over the place. And, yeah, you can argue that all of them are a little bit lazy and inaccurate. However, if you're grading on a Nazi comparison curve, the Libertarian Party of Kentucky did pretty good. I mean, they compared like the idea of a COVID passport and marking, literally marking everybody who hasn't had the vaccine, and then they don't have the same rights to participate in basic societal functions as the rest of us, to the Yellow Star of David. It was a much better analogy than the average, well, Trump is Hitler because he tweeted something mean. And of course, right away, you know, when the Libertarian Party came out and condemned this, what do I get sent today? And I didn't even see this coming, but oh yeah, Bill Weld and Gary Johnson compared Trump's border policies to the Holocaust. So no one is above this. You can have your problems with it. I was tweeting about it a whole lot. I didn't use that analogy. You, I'm sure, wouldn't use that analogy. But at the same time, would the Libertarian Party of Kentucky have gotten this much attention on the issue if they hadn't? If they had just said they were against it?
The lesson is, you can use the analogy in the service of causes the regime cares about.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can't. That's really all it is. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in the party who just line up for whatever the priorities of the regime are, they are ready to carry them out. So this is just the latest example.
Yeah, so two, I think, really important points to that, right? Like, number one is make sure you recognize, really recognize what's going on here. So like this lady, the Charlotte Clymer lady, or Seth Rogen, or any of the others who are lining up to attack us, just let's see things for what they are. They are not so outraged on behalf of my, you know, family's suffering that they just can't stand to see this comparison, right? That is not what the issue is here. Let's be very clear about that. They would have no problem with anyone comparing Trump to Hitler or whatever, you know, any right winger to Hitler. That would be absolutely fine. So let's be honest here. They are using this. They are using what happened to innocent Jewish people in Nazi Germany, a great, you know, one of the greatest humanitarian tragedies of all time. They are using that for political purposes in a power play. So let's like very clearly understand what's going on there. Don't for a second let them get away with what they're doing. And I got to say, as somebody who does not offend easily for whatever reason, that offends me more than like anything, that they would use the suffering of the Jewish people in Nazi Germany to act as if they care so much about it. Yeah. And you people just don't even understand, but then they would look the other way. I mean, imagine being in Hollywood and being like a Nazi comparison. Oh my God, I haven't heard anything like this. And come on, this is a joke. But the other thing to notice is what you were just mentioning, right? Is that there are these, and I will say some of them are blatantly evil and some of them are just hopelessly blue-pilled.
Yeah.
But it's not that far off. You know, I love in the original, you know, the red pill, blue pill analogy comes from The Matrix. And there's one scene in The Matrix that's like one of the most, I think, brilliant and insightful parts, where Morpheus explains to Neo that everyone here, and this is really the libertarian kind of struggle, right? As you go, you look at all the NPCs, all the blue pilled people walking around, and they go, everyone here is your enemy. But at the same time, these are the people you're trying to save. And that's a weird dichotomy that like you have to kind of realize both of them, because the way it works in the movie is the agents can jump into anyone who's plugged in's body, you know, and take them over. So that's kind of what we're up against here. Like these, some of them are just hopelessly blue-pilled, but they would also like let you and your family lose everything to protect their own image. What they believe, right? This is, to me, the essence of the blue pill, red pill thing. What they believe is that this is never going to work if we piss off the entire establishment. You know, oh man, we want to get as many votes as possible. We want to get as many people here as possible. Well, if we have Seth Rogen tweeting at us that we're awful people, then that's not going to help us get more votes. And you can understand, if you didn't know everything you know, kind of feeling that way, right? Everyone who's red-pilled can understand the blue-pilled perspective, or at least you should be able to. So you can understand looking at that and go, well, yeah, I don't want to have the whole media and all of Hollywood against me. That's not going to help me in this cause, right? So that's going to just make us look bad. But what the next level is, the kind of red-pilled understanding, is that if we're ever successful, it's a guarantee that all of the media and all of Hollywood will be against us. We're here to try to roll back the biggest honeypot in the history of the world. Like, what do you think? We're going to just be like, oh, okay, we're going to abolish the CIA. And they'll all go, well, your argument stands on the merits of the foundation of which right. you made it. And so we understand why you actually think the CIA is counterproductive. And no, of course, if you were ever really in a position to roll back the CIA, we probably don't actually want to be in that position because we'd be in serious physical immediate danger. So understand that from our perspective, if all of Hollywood is getting pissed off and the media is getting pissed off and all of this, that means you're over the target. Like, great. Let them get pissed off as long as we're fighting on an issue that matters, as long as we're not just pissing them off by just saying something stupid, but we're pissing them off by like opposing a tyrannical issue and standing for human liberty, then great. And right. to me, that's what they were doing.
And the kinds of people who would be more offended by the analogy than by the policy yeah. are not exactly the kind of people who were, shall we say, just around the corner from being libertarians. And then, darn, that analogy just right. threw them. And now they're just going to go be left liberals somewhere. That's just not happening. That's not the real world in any way. Now, on Twitter, I want to talk about one other thing. We talked about the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. Let's talk about probably the worst state, Libertarian Party state, and that is Nevada. Libertarian Party of Nevada is full of people who openly oppose and even mock the non-aggression principle, which is the moral foundation of libertarianism. You can hear some of them making excuses for the atomic bombings of Japan. They make excuse of the atomic bombings in Japan, but Dave Smith is the bad guy. You understand, right?
Right.
Incinerate children. You know, hey, that's a policy difference we have. But Dave Smith had guests on his podcast we don't like. I mean, the real moral evil in our world today, Dave, is having the wrong people on your podcast. Now, that will yes. get them outraged. Lock people in your houses on the basis of ridiculous pseudoscience for a year? Well, you know, they can see both sides of that. All right, let me read you what the LP of Nevada just wrote. And by the way, they got ratioed up the yin-yang for this, okay? We support the implementation of free market vaccine passports, preferably implemented on decentralized blockchains, and support all efforts from entrepreneurs to bring trust and value to our medical information and our society at large. So they took a pig and they figured the lipstick on this pig would be free market, blockchain, and entrepreneur. That ought to shut up the libertarians. We'll put it that way. It's like, how utterly clueless, how absolutely tone deaf and missing the point can you be to take that kind of position? That's what the party in Nevada is doing right now.
Yeah, it's really something. And my first reaction to this tweet, which you read to me right before we started recording, was to just, I was thinking about the recent podcast that you did on left libertarianism. Yeah. And I really think that me and you have to own that we've made a real mistake over the last few years when we've been calling these people left libertarians.
Yeah.
Because they are not
at
all.
They are not. They don't even know what left libertarianism is, these people. They have no idea.
It's not the you know, it's in the same way that Murray Rothbard, and I've leaned on this a lot in the last year, but this book right here, right behind me, but in the Progressive Era, which is really fantastic. Everyone should read that if they haven't already. There's a collection of all of Murray Rothbard's work on the Progressive Era, and he really explains how the truth of the Progressive Era was that it was a corporate takeover of a left-wing cause. And by the time that the corporate takeover had happened, it really bared very little resemblance to the original left-wing cause, which was like, oh, we should have a managed economy so it's not so unfair for the little guy. And the robber baron gets so much and the little guy gets so little. And by the end of it, it was the robber baron running the progressive era saying, oh yeah, we need a managed economy and we're all going to manage it. You know, I mean, and that's kind of what's happened with the kind of woke takeover. It's a corporate takeover of a left-wing cause. And yeah, the left-wing cause was misguided at the beginning, but by the time we're here, it almost bears no resemblance to what they started with. And the idea, I mean, this almost sounds like the most, like a caricature of a right-wing libertarians.
It does sound like that, argument. Yeah. Because let me jump in here. I did it, as you said, I did actually a whole week with a left libertarian named Gary Chartier. In terms of academic accomplishments, Gary is probably the most accomplished of all the left libertarians. And he's a brilliant and great guy. And if you were to say to Gary Chartier what these people say, so for example, if some right winger gets kicked off Facebook and we say, I don't know, this is kind of a dangerous trend, the alleged left libertarians jump in and say, what? You don't trust the free market? You know, like they've had a lobotomy or something. This is their argument. You don't trust the free market? No left libertarian would look at some corporate policy of some big corporation and say, that's the free market in action. The whole point of left libertarianism is to also be concerned about corporate power. Yeah. Whereas these alleged left libertarians or the fakertarians, whatever, they're so dumb, they don't even know what their own tradition is. They're out there saying, well, if Facebook says it, it must be okay. No, that is not the position. And so likewise here, the idea, well, as long as the corporations are enforcing the vaccine passport, I don't know what point of view that is. I don't know what tradition that comes from, but that is not left libertarianism.
Right. And there almost is no tradition. It's just a weird thing. It's like a mix of young people today who read a little bit about libertarianism, but also just don't want to go against the grain of everything that they're propagandized to believe. So they're finding justifications and they really have no intellectual leaders or anything like that. It's just kind of, you know, I guess let me find a way to not be against this and also use a libertarian justification. But I'm sorry. I mean, look, what you're talking about, particularly after the last year that we've been through, the government, I mean, It's a mix of the fact that they've destroyed as many small and mid-sized businesses as if the stated intended goal of the government policy was to destroy small and mid-sized businesses, I don't know what they could have done better than what they did over the last year. And if the stated goal was to bail out every large corporation in the country, I don't know how much more money they could have spent. I mean, just trillions of dollars of direct bailouts. Just direct corporate welfare to these huge corporations. So then after that, you now have the Biden administration, as is being reported in the Washington Post and CNN and the New York Times, consulting with big corporations about how to implement the COVID vaccine. I mean, to pretend that any of this is like, well, if they were to just do it on their own in the free market, it's like, okay, well, none of this is in the free market. That's not what's happening
here.
Right.
And as Jeff Dice says, on their own, without state propaganda, state pressure, without this compliant media, there's no business that would voluntarily be doing this. Like, this is all under state influence.
Well, just why not check for other vaccines? I mean, why would a business have not just been like, oh, we just want to make sure you have the measles vaccine before you
come I'm pretty sure there are swingers conventions that do not have STD tests when you go in.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Really. And exactly. So this is, come on. I mean, this is like for anyone with any amount of common sense, this is not something that's organically happening in the market. This is something that is directly, you know, being enforced by the state and directed by the state and the federal government at that. So yeah, it's a very bizarre thing to see, but it's not, again, it's not left libertarianism. It's just really dumb woke libertarianism.
Yeah, it is dumb. And the people pushing it, as you say, like they don't have any scholars, they don't have any anything. All they have is some shit posters, honestly. That's what it is. So in the meantime, though, because they don't do anything except post, but we know people like Michael Heiss who actually do stuff, like in the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus. We're on the move here. The people who actually want to have good messaging, who would not blow the opportunity of a lifetime, which was the last year. the Republican Party, with a few exceptions, has been terrible on the lockdowns. I mean, look at Ohio. Yeah, the guy claims he's acting on the basis of science. It's all pseudoscientific nonsense. It's all over the place. Maryland, they've been terrible on this. The fact that you can name the semi-decent Republicans means that there aren't that many of them. Yeah. So here was a chance for libertarians to speak to millions of politically homeless people and say, we stand up for your rights, unlike these people. But unfortunately, a lot of the people who were unhappy about the lockdowns are in a demographic that these particular kind of libertarians just don't like. They're not interested in. They just don't care. They just don't care. So,
you know, it's funny. Sometimes I really think, Tom, that the disconnect is the people. Like I was saying this recently on a podcast I was on with a few like of the younger LP guys, really good guys. It was on Reed Coverdale's podcast. Shout out to him and Jeremy and David and some really good guys were on this podcast with me. And I was trying to explain to them. So they're like, you know, in their early 20s and I'm in my late 30s at this point. But I was trying to explain to them almost the difference between me and some of the LP guys. And what I was saying to them was like, I was like, look, I'm from the Ron Paul movement, you know, and like, that's what I come from. I am a product of the Ron Paul movement. And so I think while there's some people in the LP who are looking for like this social club and kind of this like weird, I don't know, little positions within this social club, but I'm from the days of the revolution. Like what I'm in this for is the revolution. That's what drove me. And I remember back in the run. Now I know you were in this libertarian game before Ron Paul was running for president, but you really were. I mean, what you rose to prominence from was the Ron Paul days. That was when people really started knowing who you were and you gained a big following and all of that stuff. And I remember in the Ron Paul days, all we wanted was an opportunity to speak to a lot of people. What we hated was that they were like blacklisting him or not talking about him or wouldn't put him on, you know, the they'd give him 2 minutes in the debates and it'd still be the best 2 minutes of the whole debates. And they wouldn't put him on like their panel shows and they wouldn't give him any time.
Or they wouldn't list him. There was one time they were listing who raised the most money in the fourth quarter. Ron Paul was number two.
Yeah,
but they only showed the first, the third, the fourth.
But was it the John Stewart thing in the polling where they were like Mitt Romney's in first, knocking Michelle Bachmann down to third, and he's like,
yeah, like
who, behind who?
Yeah,
like,
John Stewart says Ron Paul is like the 13th floor in a hotel.
That was it, right?
Yeah.
So all we want. I remember you giving this speech years ago. I can't remember where it was, but do you remember where you did the thing where you gave, you said, I'm going to give two speeches. One is to people who are already libertarians, and the other speech is to people if they had never heard of libertarianism
before.
It was
the LP of Texas. I spoke to the LP of Texas. Yep.
So this speech that was on YouTube, great speech for anybody. Go check it out. Link to it, Tom. I know how you run this show.
Notes throw page.
Throw it in the show notes.
TomWoods.com/1868. I'll put that speech up.
That's where I like doing Tom Woods' show. If I just mention anything, I got throw it in the show notes.
Yeah,
all right,
why not?
There we go. So in this speech, what you said, which is what we all kind of like thought at the time, was like the second part of the speech was like, if we could just have everybody's ear, which is what libertarians believe, like if we could just have everybody's attention, then we could tell them this. And it's such a sound argument. It's like, hey guys, look, we have the answers for so much of this stuff and here's why and here's what the problem is and here's what the solution is. And to me, it blows my mind that any libertarian doesn't have this attitude. Like, yes, this is what we want. And so when you see libertarians trending and now you realize this is a different world than the Ron Paul days, there was no opportunity like this. You had to get on CNN or something back then. And now it's like, oh, it's trending and millions of people are looking at what? Libertarians? What are they saying? And we've got a great opportunity to say something. And what is so many of these higher ups in the Libertarian Party and all, they're saying, look, we really apologize for making any type of comparison to the Holocaust. We never should have done that. I mean, I'm so sorry. And we are not like those people. Just so you know, this is one crazy group of people in the Mises Caucus, and this is not the rest of us. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
like,
pathetic.
You have this opportunity, and that's what you're gonna spend it on. Someone actually gave you a seat at the table, and you didn't want, you know, Tom, it's like you said in your speech to the LP in 2016. you're, you know, and I'll butcher it, you said it much better, but, you know, you're sitting on this incredibly noble, beautiful tradition of ideas with these great heroic men like Mises and Hayek and Rothbard and all, you know, all these guys who put this together, and you have this, you're the ambassador now of this idea, and you get an opportunity to say something, and that's what you come up with. Like, that's it. I mean, how, what lasting impact on history could that possibly have?
Yeah.
We're also against people making, you know, analogies to the Holocaust. I mean, come on. Yeah. We're talking about implementing the Chinese social credit system in America.
So even if you don't like the analogy, you can say, look, I don't particularly like the analogy, but you know what's worse than that analogy? It's the thing the analogy is talking about. How about we talk about that? And
later on,
we deal with that, we can go back and talk about analogies again. All right,
that,
Dave.
All I'm looking for, by the way. Yes, I completely agree. You could distance yourself from that and still just be like, yes, this is the stand. This is something worth dying over. This makes me terrified for my children's future. Look, I don't think anything's the Holocaust, and we shouldn't compare it to that. But look at what's being proposed here. That's all. You know, like just put the emphasis on what matters.
Yeah, and it should have been laughingly dismissed as, oh, come on, it's pretty rich for people who have done nothing but make Holocaust comparisons for 4 years suddenly to be, you know, come on now. Like, we're not even going to bother answering you because we know you're not acting in good faith, and you know you're not acting in good faith, and you know that we know that you're not acting in good faith. So we're going to move on to the substance of the matter at hand. I'm going to violate a law of marketing here, which says you give people only one action item. I'm going to give them three. Okay. Now, folks in the audience here, the gods of marketing say if we give you three action items, you won't do any of them. That's why you got to give people only one. Well, prove them wrong. The three action items are, number one, start listening to Part of the Problem, hosted by Dave here. It's one of the only podcasts I listen to. Honestly, I could be listening to a lot of them, but for one reason or another, some of them just annoy me and I just can't. So I listen to Dave. That's one thing. So you should be listening to Part of the Problem. Second, if you like what we've been saying, well, there is a growing caucus in the Libertarian Party that is trying to substitute actual hardcore libertarian messaging for mealy-mouthed nothingness, and that's the Mises Caucus, and you can join it at lpmisescaucus.com. So LP, like Libertarian Party, Mises, M-I-S-E-S, lpmisescaucus.com. And Dave, just to make you happy, I'll link to that on the show notes page too.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Then,
go ahead. Give your last one, and then
The third one is, if you haven't gotten it yet, you know, I keep referring all the time to these charts that just show that the nonsense didn't do any good because you just compare this state with that one. So I put a bunch of them together in an ebook, and this thing is good. Like, you are going to be fist pumping while you read this thing. It's called COVID Charts CNN Forgot. And you can get it, if it doesn't cost you anything, you can get it at chartstheyforgot.com. And what I'm going to do eventually in the coming weeks, so go to chartstheyforgot.com, download that thing, and you'll enjoy it. But in the coming weeks, I'm going to make a quiz. And every single time I come across somebody on social media who is even implying that this stuff works and that we're just being stupid and selfish and that's American individualism for you and they can't pull together during a pandemic to do the right thing, all right, I'm going to send them to this quiz, and it's going to have charts that are unlabeled. You can't tell which state is which. And I've been saying, all right, which one of these states during this period limited indoor dining? Ready? Go. Which one of these states did such and such? And either the charts will be the same or the results will be the opposite of what you'd expect. So they get a zero every single time, because at the end, I'll reveal each one. I think that is devastatingly effective. I'm shocked nobody has done it yet. I'm putting that together. Now, what was the last thing you were going
to
say?
Oh, well, I just to say real quick, because I love it, and I think this is your most important work, as important as all of your work
Thank
is.
You.
I think what you've done with this one and the previous one and all the stuff over this last year has just been the most important thing ever, because literally nothing, you know, as much as I hate what the military does to foreign countries and all of this stuff, I mean, look, I know you are too. I'm a father first, and I got to worry about like my family first. And it's just so scary what they're doing. And so many people, their counter will be like, well, but that doesn't necessarily, just because things didn't get better after they locked down here or didn't get better when they didn't lock down here, that doesn't prove anything. And you're like, yeah, okay. I mean, unless we run back, unless you have a time machine and we can run things both ways, you'll never have 1000% certainty proof of one or the other. But isn't the onus on you if you're going to take away every single basic human liberty that someone has? And the truth is, you can't demonstrate at all that any of these government policies have mitigated the virus in the slightest.
And of course, Dave, not to mention, if the charts did appear to suggest that these things were, we'd never hear the end of it. Hey, look at the charts, you science denier.
Can you imagine if you had one chart where there was a mask mandate and cases plummeted immediately after, and that usually, would be it.
When they do have a chart like that, they only show one little area. Like there was a CDC study, and it went like this, and then they stopped the study here, and then the chart goes like this with masks, with no change in popular compliance.
So it's just, I mean, like, come on. Like, it's just, it's too much. And so I, you know, I really, on behalf of all the real hardcore libertarians, and I hate saying real libertarians, but the ones who really care about human liberty, we appreciate so much what you've done over this last year and all the years, but particularly this last year. But I just wanted to say the lpmisescaucus.com/bash. If you go there,
you can find all the details
for Pittsburgh with Maj Ture, Jeff Deist, Scott Horton, and yours truly.
And you, yeah. That's coming up May 15th.
That's right.
Which is the same day, I won't be able to be there because the same day I'm having a supporters event at my house. You have to be a supporter of the show, and all the slots are taken because the house is a big house. It's only so big, so I can't take everybody who wants to come. So the rest of you go to Pittsburgh for this amazing event with Dave and these other folks. I'll actually post that separately on the show notes page. So I'll have LP Mises Caucus and then a link directly to that event, because if you're in that area, you should go. You'll have a blast. So Dave, thank you so much for your time and for all the good work you're doing.
Tom, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.